feel like myself anymore. I'm like a lost key in the kitchen drawer, just waiting for someone to show me to the door. But onwards and upwards, baby.
Hey up, my name's Ben, and you're listening to Natter, which is a monologue of all the Stoke City-related things currently inside my head. You've got this because you don't have a regular episode of the YYY Files. I have people in the pipeline ready to interview, I just haven't got an interview lined up in time this weekend, unfortunately, as I will go on to, I'm sure, so you've got this instead. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. I don't think it's going to be particularly long, certainly not as long as the last one. But yeah, I'm going to jump straight into it. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to talk about is a little bit of housekeeping. So, if you remember back long when this podcast began 2 years ago, there was no schedule to this podcast. I simply uploaded and released whenever I fancied it, whenever I could. And that changed about, I want to say, a year ago now, where I've been uploading on the regular pretty much every Sunday with a break here and there at 10 a.m. And that's only really developed because of the pandemic. So I'm sure lots of people can sympathize with me. Back in April of last year, I was on furlough, so I had no job to go to. And like most people, I was stuck indoors, not able to go anywhere or do anything. And I thought, what better effort, where better could my effort go than this platform? And so I did that. I was releasing pretty much full podcasts every week. And that sort of continued after my furlough period ended in April, albeit I started to trim back longer episodes and I started doing A-sides and B-sides. You'll be familiar with this if you're a long-term listener of the podcast, certainly in the last year. Anyway, and I've got to admit, it's starting to get to me now. My personal life, my personal circumstances are changing. And for example, I'm moving. I'm in the process of moving to a new place, which is very exciting. And there's other non-Stoke related events that are coming up within the next 6 months, and I need to put my effort into those as well. And of course, I'm going back to the football with the world opening up again as we speak. Anyway, I'm able to go out and do new things, and so producing the podcasts as I would like to produce them and as I think they deserve to be produced, which is basically uncut yet edited to a refined state that I think they're suitable to be put out. Doing that every week is becoming more difficult as time goes by. There's also behind the scenes pod stuff which is bubbling away. Let's see how they develop, but certainly I need time to put effort into that and make them a reality. Basically, I keep talking about wanting to do things, but I'm so busy churning out regular content that I need time elsewhere to be thinking about the new things. And I want the flexibility when interviewing too. So previously, if I didn't have anybody on the podcast, I would try and line people up so that either I had a big stockpile of podcasts ready to upload and they'd be well out of date. Sometimes I'd be recording months in advance. Sometimes I just have to make do. I'd have to try and get somebody last minute, and I don't want to have to do that to people. You know, you good people who come on the podcast, I want you to be able to come on when you like, basically, and talk when you like. I understand that your lives are getting busier too, and not everybody wants to talk on a Stoke City podcast every week. I completely understand. And also, I'd like to release stuff like this sooner. So if you're listening to this, it's likely that this has gone out sometime on Friday rather than Sunday. That's just because there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about before the game on Saturday. And if I uploaded at 10 a.m. on a Sunday, I could not do that. And I don't have time to record something between after the game on Saturday and between Sunday 10 a.m. So basically what I'm trying to say, a long way around trying to say, is that the regular Sunday 10 a.m. uploads from pretty much here on in, I think, are going to stop. That's not saying that episodes won't be frequent. Don't be wrong, I love doing this podcast, and it's kept me going through a very, very difficult 18 months for everybody, but of course for me too in that. And I love talking to Stoke City fans and what I'm doing, and I will continue to do so, and they will be frequent. They just won't be regular. You know, sometimes I might have a break and I don't need to justify that. Sometimes I might give you, you know, two uploads in a week, and that's good. And I don't think it's a sort of podcast where, for me anyway, certainly in its early days, where people were expecting it to be released at a certain time. So I want to take that expectation away. So with that in mind, I think it's worth it for anybody who is a hardcore listener to this podcast. Make sure that you follow the podcast on your podcast catcher, because if you don't, you probably won't know when these are going out. It's not as if you can just search the YYY files in your podcast catcher at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. With most of these podcast catchers too, you can get notified if you like. So rather than having to sit and have a look through to see whether I've uploaded, you can get notified. I know apps like Spotify do it, Apple Podcasts do it. There's loads of more dedicated podcast companies too that have great apps. Another way of keeping updated is on social media, mainly Twitter. I must admit, I find that the best place to keep people updated on the podcast. So yes, if you want to try and keep up with my upload schedule or my prospective upload schedule, I'd say yeah, follow the podcast on your podcast catcher, get notified if you like, and follow us on social media, because yeah, as I say, I think the time for regular uploads for sure is going to stop. Like I say, frequent uploads for sure, I'm committed to that, but regular uploads, yeah, I think we've had the last podcast to absolutely go out at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. And by freeing myself of an upload schedule, it means whenever I like, I can do things like this and talk about current events if I so choose. I know I said that's something I'd never do on the podcast, but I guess from time to time, we're having such a good season thus far anyway, it'd be stupid for me not to talk about it. We played, I believe, two games, one in the league, one in the cup, when I recorded the last episode of Natter. And since then, we played five games, four in the league, one in the cup. And I think we've won three, won four and lost one. I think we've done really well anyway, since the last time I talked about current events on this podcast. Either way, it's an excellent start to the season, isn't it? We are playing very, very well indeed. And we've had an excellent transfer window too. And I'm just so pleased that this club is changing. On this podcast, we've talked about modernization of our club for a long time. And I understand to some extent that we've been waiting for these contracts of these high earners to all line up like ducks in a row. And since a lot of them had 1 year left, we were able to get rid of them. And, you know, it's fantastic. It's great that we're able to get people out of our club who clearly didn't want to be here, and then bring in players that do. And I think we are reaping the rewards from that. I think lessons have been learned from our previous recruitment policy, and praise has to go to the new guys. That's Michael O'Neill, Alex Aldridge. I'm sure there's a couple of other names in there as well. But yeah, I think our foundational changes have bared fruit in our good start to the season. Hopefully that continues. I'm sure that people's perception of us after the first five league games has changed anyway, in the season going forward. If you've not listened to it, Michael O'Neill has done a good little interview. In fact, I think it's in a couple of parts as I speak at the moment with the chair of the Supporters Council, Angela Smith, and it is worth listening to if you haven't already. You know, he sort of talks about these things, talks about the behind the scenes changes and what that means for him and what that means for the football. And it seems like he's been held by shackles for a long time. The club still is to some extent with financial fair play, but they are being loosened. I think the burden of, yes, we had a decent revenue, a decent income with parachute payments, but it sounded like that all went on players. I was on a Wizards of Drivel podcast recently, and I talked about of all the high earners that left this season, I think it accounted for around £16 million a year, which is a lot of money, considering that we also sold Nathan Collins, and considering that the club also probably took advantage of the COVID rules and not having to break even this season or whatever. You know, we pounced very well on our opportunity, and yeah, I think the interview with Angela is a good one. I think that's on, if it's not on YouTube, it's on Stoke City Plus, so yeah, give that a watch. Speaking of which, congratulations to the new Stoke City Supporters Council members. That's Michael, David and Jules. I've got my first meeting of the season ahead of the Huddersfield game on Saturday, and I'll meet those guys along with all the others because I haven't done that yet. And I'm hoping for good developments, you know, after a season of change football wise, let's hope that Stoke are open to a season of development for sure off the pitch as well. Speaking of Huddersfield, I talked about last time about fanzines and the matchday programme, which, by the way, the freemium matchday programme seems better than I was anticipating. Actually, I picked one up for the first time I was able to, and it was it was okay. There was more pages than I thought, more content than I thought. Yes, it's filled with adverts, but it's got to pay for itself somehow. And although it's disappointing not to have the premium glossy magazine, at least there's something, and hopefully that means it's more accessible for people too. I hope it sticks around. But I also talked about Duck Magazine and how they were going digital. Well, it seems like I've jinxed it, and for now anyway, they're coming back as a printed mag, and I've decided to write an article in there. It's about, you know, the sort of stuff I talk about on this platform. It's about why people are Stoke fans, and essentially that's why I launched something like this. I love the different ways of how people got involved with Stoke, but also the reasons that they stick around as well. You know, I don't think it's just the dad why people stick around. It's not just picking the club out of a matchday magazine. It's deeper than that, and it's just something I had a little ramble about. So if you see a Duck Magazine seller at the Huddersfield game, go pick up a copy. Not only because I'm in there and I'd appreciate you giving it a read, but yeah, it'd be nice to have a great reception for them selling magazines too. It sounds like a bit of a trial, and you know, I wanted to go well as much as they, and probably you do as well. And for anybody interested, I've also done a short preview for the And He Takes That Chance podcast, which is a Huddersfield Town podcast. Go and search it on your podcast platform after this if you want to listen to a couple of voice notes that I gave for them guys too. While I'm doing an episode of Natter, I thought I'd give a shout out to FanHub, who I've talked about on the podcast before, but they are running a competition for Stoke fans and other football fans for that matter. Essentially, the top three Stoke City users on their app each month are going to win 2 free tickets to a Stoke game. Yeah, cool. Every month. You can't complain at that. August winners, I believe, were We Are Stoke, George Shenton and Stoke Hub. So those guys each have a pair of tickets. As far as I'm aware, I came fourth in the FanHub app. I'm gutted to have missed out on a couple of tickets, even though, to be honest, I probably would have given them away via this platform anyway if I had won them. But congratulations to those guys. You know, they've been using the app clearly, and they're being rewarded for it. They've been doing things like, I imagine, checking in at games, predicting the lineup before each game, and digesting Stoke City-related content through their app. People like this podcast is on there, Wizards of Drivel podcast is on there now, Jack Alton, who writes the Football Addict, is also on there, and a couple of other more championship wide creators are on there too. FanHub also say that there's more ways that they're going to reward fans in the future. So yeah, all I can say, this is just a bit of a tip, I'm not getting paid for saying this at all, but you know, if you're in the UK, go download the FanHub app. there's a bit of a queue, but because I'm a content creator, FanHub have given me this ability to give codes away to let you skip the queue. So send me a message on social media at the YYY Files or an email to the YYY Files at mail.com if you want a code to get in. I'll help you skip and hopefully you can win yourself some tickets. Like I say, I genuinely don't get paid or anything for saying it. I just think it's a good tip for you Stoke fans and literally for just using their app, they're giving stuff away. There'll be reasons for that come clear in the future. But yeah, just a tip for you guys. And now for the last thing that I wanted to talk about on this episode of Natter, which is going to be the unscripted bit, I guess. So I said in the last episode, every time I do one of these, I want to practice being able to talk about things on the fly. And so I said I'd do something called a title topic. I really cringe at that name. Now I listen back to it, so I'm going to try and find a new one. But yeah, I'm going to talk about a Stoke City topic, I guess. And I've got no notes written down. I'm going to try and ad-lib it and just try not to ramble too much, making it interesting. The thing I wanted to talk about, because it's relevant, are transfer windows, which for me have died in excitement over the years, and there's multiple reasons for that. So I became a fan of this club, well, I went to my first game in, I think, December 2009. It was late 2009 anyway, so it was our second season in the Premier League. And I only really, really got involved in Stoke after going to the FA Cup semi-final against Bolton the following season. And since then, that was where I really started following Stoke. And it meant that my first proper transfer window was the summer 2011-12 window, I guess. And that was an exciting transfer window for anybody that remembers it. So obviously we just reached the FA Cup semi-final and we were in the Europa League, and that sort of pull is great. It was a window where we signed people like Peter Crouch. Wilson Palacios was a big pull as well at the time. I think we signed Cameron Jerome too. Jonathan Woodgate, did he join that season? He may well have done. Matthew Upson as well, I want to say. It was a, you know, it was a summer transfer window for big names, and it was where Stoke started their tradition, I think, of signing big names, where they got known for being a bit of a dog's home for these more recognised, established players. And it worked for that season under Tony Pulis. You know, we did really well in that Europa League campaign, getting to the last 32 or 16, certainly the knockout phase anyway, against Valencia. And then we did all right in the league season too. And it was sort of after that where Stoke started to dip off, really, in terms of transfer windows for me. That transfer window was pretty much the peak, I think, in terms of excitement for me. Because after that, we did sign names yet again that were well known, but, you know, it clearly didn't work out that next season for Tony Pulis, and he left the club. Don't be wrong, we've had exciting transfers since Mark Hughes came in, and we've signed people like Bojan Arnautovic, who was a bit of an unknown quantity at the time, Shaqiri. You know, we've signed some great players over the years, but I think the peak was that transfer window where it was just great to see these names come in. And then, as it turns out, and as it's turned out in the last few years anyway, signing names gets you nowhere, really, or not guaranteed to get you there. Anyway, look what happened when we went down. You know, we signed people like Hesse, Choupo-Moting, who had played European football quite frequently, and they did not do very well for us at all. Maybe people like Kevin Bimmer the same. And then when we got relegated, we were in the Championship, signing players like Tom Ince, James McLean, Benik Afobe, Ashley Williams, Kuka Martina, you know, look where that left us again. And for me, that's why I'm not excited as much about transfer windows anymore, until, I guess, this season, where we clearly had changed our strategy. I would say our 10-year-old strategy of signing players, like we did under that season, that Europa League season under Toni Pulis. And I think our transfer strategy has only just changed. And it is now that we seem to be signing players, not just because people have heard of them, but because they are just good players in their own right. Look what happened with Ben Wilmot. We signed him for $1.5 million, and I would say that he is no worse than Nathan Collins. I really wouldn't. I think they're both great players, and I think I said this on the Wizard Dribble as well. I wonder whether Ben Wilmot will eventually be sold for more than Collins was this time around. Big shout, but yeah, for me, transfer windows have died a death, and I wasn't particularly excited this summer. They've been revived a little bit now. I think they used to be a bit more exciting back in the day. The rumours were... they weren't as hot, certainly under Toni Pulis anyway. I think Mark Cartwright came in and there were so many rumours, there were so many leaks from the club that were just either false or transfer sagas would be dragged out. I know that Peter Crouch was one of the biggest transfer sagas we've had, but... you know, I'm thinking of people like Shaqiri that dragged on for a long, long, long time. Other players that we did not sign and they dragged out for a long time. Players like Loic Remy, who was at the training ground. Demba Ba was a big pursuit. Let me think. Jonathan Petrupa was a deadline day signing that never happened. And that was all weird. You know, I think that there were a lot of leaks that either didn't turn out or by the time they signed, they weren't exciting anymore. And I think that killed my love for transfer windows on the whole. Hopefully now this change in strategy means that I'm excited for transfer windows again, you know? And we seem to be signing players out the blue. Abdallah Seema was signed on deadline day. Not one rumour about him before that. The same for players like Wilmot. The same for players like Ostergaard, who are exciting players and other clubs are rating them highly, fans of other clubs are rating them highly, and they perform well since they've come in. And I think part of that transfer window is being able to tell people exciting stories, while I think in the Premier League and signing big names, they get the coverage and people already know that anyway. I think I rambled for too long about the transfer window. Yeah, just over the last 10-15 years as a Stoke fan, it's you know, it's declined in excitement throughout my time, and hopefully with this change in strategy, it's picking up. And with that, that'll close this episode of Natter. Thank you very much for listening, if you've made it this far. I have got regular content lined up coming soon. Like I say, I've not got any interviews scheduled, but I certainly have people in the pipeline. I've got people who want to have a go at the files and tell a Stoke City story. You know who you are if you're listening. And I've also got people who are keen to come on Millionaire again if you're listening, whether it's through email or direct messaging. I will get back to you and you will have a go, I promise. And there's also people who I'd like to get on Disclosed too. You know, people aren't necessarily Stoke City fans, but I think would have a good story to tell. Let's see what develops. As I say, this will sort of signal the end of the regular upload schedule of a Sunday 10 a.m. That's basically what this podcast was for. This episode of the podcast was for, to tell you about that. If you're a regular listener and you love the 10 a.m. uploads, I'm really sorry. But I feel like, certainly at this time in my life anyway, I don't want to just stop and have a break. I just want podcasts to be able to be released when I'm able to. And it's not like I can just meet up with a group of guys and talk about Stoke. It's, you know, got to be done properly. And I want it to be done properly. Quality over quantity, I think, at this time. And I'm going to take that mantra. But don't let that deter you if you want to come on this podcast. This is just a reminder that this platform, I promise, really does rely on people like you to get involved. And there's loads of ways to do so. As I mentioned previously about the people that I've got lined up to come on, you can head to the wowwowwowfiles.com and click get involved to find out how, and fill out the form and state your intent of coming on. Seriously, there's no screening really. I'm not going to turn anybody down. But if you would like to come on, I would really appreciate it if you stated your intent and let me know that you wanted to do so. Alternatively, you can get in contact by sending a message on social media at the YYYFiles or an email to the YYYFiles@mail.com. All the links you need to do that are in the podcast description. That just leaves me to say, thank you very much for listening, and until the next one, Bizneeds of Fortio.
Far away from the wild goose chase, my shoulders are so rich.